Welcome to the Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. I'm your host, Marcus Mackey. Joining us today is Iowa Senator for District 12, Amy Sinclair. Amy, going back to the governor's condition of the state address last week, one of the main topics she went over was her proposal for the school vouchers. Please explain how her proposed bill is different from last year's.
Sure. So the bill she proposed this year is different from the bill she proposed last year in that it's only means tested for the first couple of years. After that, it is open to any student who might want to go. It's the same in that it's still only accredited non-public schools. So when we talk about accountability and all those things, we're talking about the opportunity for students to choose to go to another school that does go through the same accreditation process or a similar one as our public schools do. So there is that level of built-in knowledge that the education the kids are going to get has met at least the same or similar standards as our public schools do. It is also different from the bill last year in that this does just deal with the student scholarship portion and doesn't go into the parental bill of rights portion or some of the licensing accountability portions that were included in last year's. Those items will be brought back up, but the governor wanted to keep the two separated this year for whatever reason. She decided that she wanted those to come at us in a couple of different bills, just trying to deal with one issue at a time rather than the overall parental rights that the bill that she introduced last year was.
And what is your initial opinion on the bill?
So my initial opinion, I've always been very, very pro-parental choice, whether that is in open enrollment or whether that is in some of the opt-out options available for families within the public system. And more recently, I've been open and supportive of the idea of parental choice to our non-publics simply because there are some times where there isn't another public choice available to families that makes sense for them. When you talk about a kid that might be living in Des Moines, say, and the options around them are Waukee and Carlisle and Ankeny and Norwalk, well, none of those schools are currently can take open enrollments because they're at capacity. And so that leaves those kids trying to make a choice to do something better without another choice available to them. And so I have been supportive of measures like this for quite a while, simply because sometimes that non-public option is the choice that's available.
And the argument has been made before that opposition to the bill is about using public funds for private schools when private schools don't have to adhere to state assessments and testing, along with not having to accept anyone who wants to go to a private school. Do you agree with that?
So I would disagree entirely with the assessment portion of it. As I mentioned prior, all of the schools that would be eligible to participate with students in these scholarships would have to be accredited non-public schools, which means that they have gone through the same rigorous testing standards as far as meeting all of the same standards. And they do have to have some measure of student growth. For many of the non-public schools in the state of Iowa, they go through the exact same accreditation process through the Department of Education that our public schools do, which means that they are indeed using the same testing model as the publics. The ones who go through maybe a different system might be using a different testing model, but they still have to use a testing model that accounts for student growth and achievement. And so to say that there's no accountability just isn't accurate. To talk about the use of public dollars for a non-public purpose, you know, I've talked a lot about this, and this is something I'm passionate about. If we're going to say that, then we need to do away with our four-year-old preschool program because we use non-public partners there. And if we're going to say this, that public funds shouldn't be used at private institutions or for private purposes, then we should do away with the 50-plus-year-old Iowa tuition grant, which provides a scholarship to students who are seeking their college experience at a place other than one of our public universities. And if we are going to say that, then we should talk about Medicaid recipients being able to go use Mercy rather than just going to Broadlawn. We need to talk about all of the non-public institutions and purposes that that our tax dollars get used for if we're going to say that about K-12 education. To be honest, K-12 education is the only place that there is a monopoly on public funds being used for private purposes. All other private purposes that folks take advantage of, whether it's our SNAP benefits or our Medicaid benefits or some of those other scholarship benefits, all of those are allowed to be used at both public and non-public institutions. To say that K-12 is the only place that you shouldn't be able to do that just seems disingenuous to me, and it frankly lacks a good bit of cognitive dissonance. It creates some cognitive dissonance for me when we're doing exactly the same thing with preschool and post-secondary to say that we shouldn't also do it with K-12.
All right, and the governor also proposed a 2.5% state supplemental aid rate increase. Do you think it should be more, considering the cost of living is so much higher than what the governor proposed?
So SSA, she proposed at 2.5%, but also then another 0.5% into the teacher salary supplement. So specifically going into teacher salaries. So it's essentially a 3% cost of living increase. Yep, you know what? We've got some out of control federal spending. So having a conversation about whether that's adequate or not, I think, is a legitimate conversation to have. We haven't even started that conversation as far as what that number should be in the Senate Education Committee. We've only met the once, and that was just the organizational meeting. So we haven't even started that conversation. But to have it based on where inflation is, because we're just printing money like drunken sailors. Actually, that's an insult to drunken sailors. We are spending money in ways that are not sustainable at the federal level, and it's resulting in inflation that impacts all of us out here in the cheap seats. And so to say that we need to have a conversation about that, I think, is valid. I don't know where we'll end up landing. I no longer am the guy in control of setting that supplemental spending for schools, but I would say that the governor is a starting point, and the conversation will go from there.
All right. And what are some other topics or speeches that you would like to highlight from last week?
Sure. Now, not necessarily within the governor's condition of the state, but the Senate is focused pretty heavily focused on property tax reform. We've got a system that, frankly, started out at the start of our state and has just been cobbled together over the years to deal with issues as they come up. And so we have a very, very complex, complicated system that sometimes makes it difficult for people to even know what they're paying. We've got more levies than you can shake a stick at, and it doesn't always seem transparent to the taxpayer. So I know we're going to work on revamping what our property tax system looks like so that we can get a handle on some out of control growth that we think we've seen in the property tax system as far as those levies from local governments. Now, what that looks like, I think we're trying really, really hard to take input from all interested parties, whether that's taxpayers or whether that's the local governments who are in charge of those levies. But we're having that conversation now, and I think you'll see a pretty comprehensive property tax reform bill come up before the end of session. I think that's probably one of the Senate's largest priorities. And I also think you're going to see some other big things in education that deal with deregulation for local districts. When we have conversation with local superintendents, local principals, a lot of what gets in the way of their educating their kids is just a bunch of red tape and paperwork. And so giving local school districts some ability to be more flexible in how they spend their money and in some of the reporting requirements and some of the things that they have to do, making that more on par with, you know, a lot of them say, if I could function like a non-public did, it would be a lot easier. And so trying to get them to a place where they can have a little bit more flexibility so that they can do the job of educating kids that they're there to do rather than just fill out paperwork. So yeah, some deregulation issues and some flexibility issues for local districts and some parental rights legislation I think you'll also see coming out of the Senate. You know, beyond that, it's going to be a big year just with different single issues coming forward that I think we'll have conversations about. And again, this early in the session, I'm not sure where any of them will lead, but we've got a lot of people talking property rights and we've got a lot of folks talking just on different local issues that might come about. And so we'll have a lot of those conversations, but way too early to tell you beyond property tax reform and some of those education reforms, what that's going to look like for our Senate and for the legislature as a whole.
Since you are now covering Adair County within your Senate district, can you tell us about yourself and how you think the first week as Senate president went for you?
Yeah, sure. So I live on a farm that, frankly, has been in the Sinclair family since 1889, I believe is the date. No longer actively farming, but do still live and raise my kiddos here on a family farm. I'm a mom of three boys. Two of my sons are grown and out of the house. And then the third is a sophomore at Wayne Community School District. So I spend a good bit of time at football and basketball games. Probably run into people at different events like that because I try to make as many as I can. I have a long history of working in education. I taught adult education, GED prep, adult literacy, parenting skills, and just basic adult life skills. Taught that for several years down here in Decatur County and Clark County. Also directed an after-school program in Wayne County before transitioning into being a county supervisor. So I've had kind of a varied past that focused on education and local government, as well as the agriculture component, again, living on the family farm, and also acted as business office manager for a local ag store, grain elevator, for several years. So that's kind of who I am and who I was before being in the Senate. I'm pretty plain spoken. Hopefully the folks in Adair County will appreciate that in the same way that the folks in my district. I used to have Marion and Jasper County and then Clark, Decatur, Wayne, and Lucas, and that's always been the one thing I've been known for was some pretty plain talk and honest dialogue. And so hopefully the folks in Adair County will appreciate that about me like my district has for the last several years. I have been up to Adair County several times already, came up a couple of times last year before it was even part of my district, just to be there with Bubba while he had a couple of public forums. And then since then, just at a couple of events that I was invited to. So really trying to get out and get to know people and hear what's going on up there. Excited to have Adair County added to my district.
All right. And are there any things I didn't cover that you want to go over?
Nope, just looking forward to getting to know the folks in Adair County and serving in any ways I can. Encourage anybody to reach out to me.
All right. Thank you very much, Amy.
Excellent. Thanks, Marcus.
That was today's Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. Discover today the many advantages of shopping with your hometown team. Hometown Foods in Guthrie Center, Panora, and Stewart. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a recording of it online at raccoonvalleyradio.com under the podcast tab.